good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Monday morning, the 11th day of August. And we got Brother David Tucker in with us and Brother Joe Barner. Good morning.
Good morning.
How y'all doing?
Well, right now we're doing pretty cool.
I tell you what, it's nice, right?
It's not bad. It's not bad right now.
69. It's going to be as high as 92, though.
Yes. No, there's a big fluctuation that's about to come.
Yep.
But
about
it's
to
August.
Yep.
So you expect that.
Well, you know, you step on the grass and it kind of crunches.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, we're talking about some rain, so maybe some of the chances have come true, maybe.
It's true.
Who knows?
I'm good with heat as long as humidity's down.
There
when
you go.
Humidity goes up, that's where
that's,
I struggle.
It's rough. It's
mm-hmm.
rough.
Absolutely.
Really is.
And last week we actually talked a little bit about the heat and how much the heat encourages temper.
Oh, okay.
The temperature affects your temper. Mm-hmm. And then we had a discussion about how to handle anger and finding forgiveness. As I remember, and it's been a week, so my memory's not the best. But as I remember, we were discussing the concept of how do I find forgiveness and grace to handle the situations that are going on around me and do it biblically.
Mm-hmm.
And we were coming up towards the end of our time together, and we were hitting it, if I remember correctly, kind of rapid fire,
mm-hmm.
kind of very quickly,
yeah.
you know, almost like the teachers that broke us up when we had fights in school,
yeah.
shake hands and say you're sorry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's it, and that's all there was. And there was not a lot of process to it. It was
okay.
just you do this and now you move on. So I thought maybe we'll go back to that and revisit a little bit. We'll be over there in Matthew in chapter 6 and also there in Matthew chapter 18. But we're going to talk about, again, keeping our cool in hot weather, and also how we can forgive and make peace inside the church.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Matthew 25:21, His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Three buddies were discussing death, and one asked the group, "What would you like people to say about you at your funeral?" "He was a great humanitarian who cared about his community." Another one stated, "He was a great husband and father who was an example for many to follow." And the final one said, "Look, he's moving. By the time I pass from this life to the next, I will already preach my funeral and you will too." Words won't matter. What matters if we hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch on this Monday morning.
Well, this morning we were picking up where we left off last week, talking about keeping peace within the church and within the family and how we handle the moments of controversy that occur within relationships. And we're going to begin here over in Matthew chapter 18 and pick up where we left off last week. In that passage, Jesus actually speaks about handling controversy that is happening within members of the church. So, Joe, if you would you read maybe 15 through 18 there, brother?
If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you, and if they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
So in order to get a full perspective of that, he's talking about handling sin that's occurred. And his statement here is, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. So you've seen a problem, you've seen an issue, and you're going to go and talk to that individual about that issue. Well, one of the things that this is based on is the fact that Jesus has already talked about judging others. So over in chapter 7, Jesus speaks there beginning in verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when at the same time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the plank in your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn on you and tear you to pieces. Now, the reason these two passages are very, very tied together is because he's speaking in chapter 18 about, I've seen something that I need to address because there's a problem with my brother, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go and point that out to them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and address that with them.
Yeah, there was a little footnote on that one in chapter 18, if he sins, mm-hmm. And it says sins against you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the concept is, again, I've seen something that's offended me mm-hmm. in what they're doing, mm-hmm. okay? So it's not just a, it's not limited to idea, but okay. It does have the connotation of, that's why it's a footnote in the process. So that the idea is that, yes, they've sinned against me or they've sinned, and I've seen the sin. So if you were to do something to Brian, I might go and say, why you want to be that away? You know? You don't want to hurt him. And so in this process, what God is saying is be careful how you judge mm-hmm. the actions of others, whether it's against you or against others, you need to make some wise decisions. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he says, and I think it's important because it has to do with both scenarios. If my brother sins against me, now I'm angry. Or if my brother sins against another brother, well, now I'm just in piling on the wrath. He says, you need to look first at yourself before you do that. Mm-hmm. So if somebody sins against me, my anger is my issue. And we talked about that last week. If somebody has sinned against someone else, well, now, my judgment is still my issue. Mm-hmm. What he says in chapter 7 is, do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He says you need to first look at your own life. So the key component, the foundational component in all of these scenarios is, before I go and do anything to anyone else, I have to do an assessment of my own life. So most times when we have controversies in the church, would you guys say that it is a measured response or a reactive response that has erupted? In other words, there's a controversy in the church. Do you think folks in the church have a measured response to it or a reactive response to it?
Speaking reactively,
that's what I would kind of, yeah.
I think we react and then we think about it and maybe have to apologize for how we reacted.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. Yeah. It becomes measured after the reaction. And that's the polar opposite of where Jesus is driving us. Mm-hmm. What Jesus is stating is, I want you to have this moment that you reflect on the process mm-hmm. that you're in. Mm-hmm. Before you engage the process, it's going to bring others into it. When we are reactive, then we tend to pull out of, well, we've talked about it before, but we pull out of the three wells, the Bible, the culture, and the life. Mm-hmm. It's either personal, cultural, or biblical. That's how I make my choices. And when I am reactive, it's highly personal and highly cultural. It's seldom biblical. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we throw some Bible on top of the culture and personal thing just to give it a flare of holiness.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when you say, this is the way we've always done it, well, that's cultural. When you say, this is the way that I like it, that's personal.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say, the Scripture says this, well, now you're getting biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And so biblical takes more time and more effort. And what it does is it causes us to pull ourselves out of the equation and allow the Scripture to be the truth that speaks to it. And so I can imagine right now, folks, we just had a Sunday, and there are some folks who are waking up on a Monday, and there's disgruntled believers in the fellowship somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're upset with Sister so-and-so, because how dare she talk that way to me?
Yep.
They're upset with Brother so-and-so. How dare he mm-hmm. have the attitude that he carried with me? And we're wrestling with that. So the first thing I would ask you as a listener is, where is that coming from? Mm-hmm. What are you drawing? What well are you drawing from?
Yeah.
Personal, cultural, or biblical? You say, well, you know, my mama didn't raise me to take stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or my mama taught me that I would never talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cultural. But is it biblical? Well, they don't ever treat my family in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's personal.
Mm-hmm.
But is it biblical? Where is the frustration and the anger coming from? Is it scriptural? And in that basis, do you have, and I'm going to say this, it's painful to say, do you have the right to your anger?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we need to say, you know what? I'm angry, but I don't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not scripturally. I should be able to let this go.
Mm-hmm.
And so today is you're starting your Monday and you're still chewing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that you've made a decision
mm-hmm.
that no longer has anything to do with the person that you're upset with.
Yeah.
You've made a decision that has everything to do with you. And the way to turn it loose is to take away the personal and the cultural and say, God, show me in the Scriptures what my path is here.
Mm-hmm.
Show me in the Scripture the next steps I need to take. And it's amazing because Jesus is exceptionally explicit about these interpersonal relationships when anger and controversy occur.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, going back into chapter 5 in Matthew, there in verses 43 and following, Joe, I tell you what, if you flip to that, would you read 43 through the end of the chapter?
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Well, now, that puts a kibosh on a lot of things, because I have a right to my personal anger. Do I not, Joe? I have a right.
That's what we say.
That's what we say, yeah.
Absolutely. And by saying that, what I have done is I've negated Scripture. I've said, well, this is just. Maybe it's just, but it's not scriptural. It's not what God has said I need to be about. My first priority is actually supposed to be to love my neighbor mm-hmm. and to be able to show that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can imagine if we were to take chapter 5, engage it into chapter, what was that, 6 or 7, and then apply that to chapter 18, how that's going to change the conversations as they start to move forward. And so what we'll do is we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, we're going to have some positive words of encouragement from Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Katie's, "Thanks for keeping the light on." From Clarksville, "We're praying for Missionary Radio until the Lord comes back." From Madisonville, "Thank you for blessing me daily with music and lessons. God bless you and all you touch with God's love." Also from Clarksville, "Thank you for being here for us all."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029. Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Well, we've been talking about anger and controversy within the church and relationships. And there's a great quote from Mark Twain. He says, "Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured." And I think that's accurate. When we allow the anger to be that which drives us, it eats us up more than it actually is effective in handling, well, anyone else. We were talking off air about different scenarios mm-hmm. in which anger has been the downfall. And there was a church member who's telling me about a time that he heard his wife on the phone with somebody. I don't know if it was from the church or from business or what it was, but his wife was very upset.
Yeah.
And his wife evidently just blessed them up and down, just turned loose. And he listened to all of that, and when she hung up the phone, probably back in the day when you could slam a phone down instead of just hitting a smart screen, when he heard her do that, he walked into the room and he said, "Now, just call him back and invite him to church." And, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, it's very simple, straight to the point, but it clearly hit the nail on the head. What had happened, they may have been justified in what they were doing, but they weren't justified necessarily in the way they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key, is that we need to understand that there is a way in which we can handle these things, and that way makes the difference. So obviously the thing we've learned thus far, and we've learned it over 2 days now, is it all begins with me, my relationship with Christ, my relationship with the Savior. When I'm in the right place, then there might not be a controversy because I'm going to pray for my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be caring for that individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to offer grace. But if I need to go and speak with them because I've seen them sin against someone else or they have sinned against me, the Scripture does say that the way that we do so is that we do it quietly. It always begins quietly. So there in chapter 18, Joe, if you would, just read that verse 13 or 15 again, please.
"If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over."
So the first person that should have the conversation about the sin is either the one who has been offended or the one who has seen the offense occur.
Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't be any other conversation prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you should go directly to the individual so that you can find the solution. And we talked about it last week, but I want to repeat it really quickly, that if what you're wanting is to find a solution to a problem, then you work with the pieces of the problem.
Sure.
But when we don't, when we begin to bring in other individuals, like there's an issue with me and Joe, so I want to talk to Brian about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sitting in Brian's office, and I shut the door so Joe can't hear. Because I just need to vent. Isn't mm-hmm. that the term we always use?
Oh, yeah.
I need to vent. Yeah. I don't need you to solve the problem. I don't want to work on the problem. I don't want to fix the problem. I just want to vent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all you're doing is stoking the anger mm-hmm. in that venting.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm talking to Brian instead of to Joe, here's the concept. I'm trying to work a puzzle by using pieces from a different puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to fit.
And then you just brought me into the
I sure did.
Scenario.
That's right.
Now, if Brian is wise, he'd say, why didn't you go to Joe?
Why don't you just go to Joe and talk to him about this situation?
Why are you coming to me?
Yeah, why
That's right.
to me?
That's right.
You know?
And now I feel very judged.
Feel judged.
But no, you're exactly right. Because scripturally, what you're doing is you're pointing me in the direction I need to go mm-hmm. instead of allowing my feelings to be the thing that flows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I can tell you as a pastor, this is almost 90% of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
People come to your office and they say, well, Brother David, I need to talk to you about so-and-so.
Yeah.
Really?
Now, really?
Do you need to talk to me about it or do you need to talk to them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how quick counseling sessions can finish when you go that direction with it.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go and talk? Well, then go talk. Go speak with them. And if you need me to come with you, I'll come with you, but I don't see the need for me to be involved.
Yeah.
That is a massive piece, especially within the church, mm-hmm. of the strife that grows. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a question, and you can choose not to answer if you like. But have you ever walked into a church where you can feel the two sides of whatever the argument is in the congregation?
Absolutely.
And there is a genuine, I'm going to say, cold
yep.
that you can feel that emanates
yep.
from, let's say there's a center aisle. Mm. You're walking down the center aisle. You can feel the pressure on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Which side you going to sit on?
Mm.
What group you going to hang with?
I might miss it, but I know Brian is very discerning.
There you
yeah.
go.
And he would catch it.
Yep.
I know him that way.
Let me tell you a story. Back many years ago, we was singing at a church.
Mm-hmm.
We walked into this church, and we sit up, and just right off the bat, I felt like there was something wrong.
Right.
We got up front, and we tried to sing. Now, listen, we tried to sing. I couldn't get it out.
Sure.
It was just like it was so strong in the church, I couldn't even sing.
Mm.
I stopped. We prayed about it. I told the church, I said, there's something going on in here, and we need to pray about it. Prayed about it and still couldn't get comfort. So we just stopped. I said, I'm done. I said, I'm done. We're going to sit down.
Wow.
And the pastor come up afterwards and said, how do you know that something's wrong? I said, I just felt it as soon as I walked in the door. And matter of fact, there had been a couple, there was both families were sitting on both sides of the church.
There you go.
The son of one of the parents over here got one of them pregnant on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and they was feuding.
Sure.
And I mean, it was just all in that church. I mean, it was just like, and we couldn't sing.
Sure.
And I felt it as soon as I walked in the door. I was like, man, something's wrong in this place. There's
that's right.
something. But, you know, that's a good thing about having a discerning spirit,
mm-hmm.
that you can feel things.
Sure.
You know, that way you can be prepared for it.
No question about it.
Yeah.
And that, when you started, you said the whole congregation, you felt it in an entire building
with
an entire mass of people.
Yes.
Then you boiled it down to two families.
Yes.
Then you boiled it down to two individuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting.
So this entire mass of disharmony
mm-hmm.
is actually not that big of a thing.
Mm-mm.
If you can boil it down to what we need for a solution.
That's it.
If you find a solution between those two, then you find mm-hmm. the solution between those families, but then mm-hmm. you find the solution between the entire church.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to me that the small things become big things.
Absolutely.
When we are just unable to address them in a healthy fashion.
Mm-hmm. When we don't follow the pattern of going to that brother or sister who has sinned, probably against you, most likely.
Right.
But when you bring other people in right at the start, you're asking them to choose sides, and you can divide an entire church that way.
You sure can.
Absolutely. The majority of things, and Joe knows this because we've been together a long time, but in our church, I tell the church all the time, five things to fight about. There's only five things to fight about, and they are: who is God, who is Christ, who is man, what is sin, and how are you saved? If it's not one of those five things, then you do not need to fight. Yeah. Don't get your anger into it. Don't let your passions rule it. Don't allow it to raise your voice. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. And you say, well, hold on. You know, that young man got that young girl pregnant. That's a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That's a really hard scenario. No question about it. But it's not eternal.
It's not.
It's not eternal. Mm-mm. It is finite. We get unbelievably miffed over the smallest of things.
Yes, we do.
It's fascinating to me. Last night we were talking at the Mayberry Bible study, and I said, you get so upset about small things. And I said, and don't tell me that you don't, because I want you to raise your hand if you've ever been upset that somebody took a parking spot you were aiming at.
Ooh.
And everybody does.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that person pulled in, and you're like, oh, man, that was my spot.
Yeah, that was my spot.
It's not. It belongs to the store or the church or whatever. And you're talking about a piece of geography that's literally about 10 by 6.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough square footage there to do anything except park a car.
That's it.
But you're upset that that little plot of ground didn't get your particular approval.
That's it.
And if we could learn to just take a breath and let a little plot of ground go, we would live a life with less acid in our vessel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would change things. Little things mean a lot. If you'll learn to change the little things, it'll make the big difference. Mm-hmm. So when we get back, we'll talk more about that. But right now, we're going to listen to a lady who always has a good word of grace, and that is Johnny Erickson Tada.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. I'm sure you know the story of the Titanic, but do you also know the one about one of its most famous passengers? Well, listen to Johnny tell the story.
Back in 1912, that state-of-the-art ocean liner hit an iceberg and sank to the bottom of the North Atlantic. People were appalled by this tragedy because the Titanic was supposed to be unsinkable, so much so that it had nowhere near the number of lifeboats needed. Over 1,500 people died in those icy waters. But as tragic as it was, there were amazing stories of courage. And one is of John Harper, a Scottish evangelist who was heading to Moody Church. As the Titanic began to sink, John Harper helped his 6-year-old daughter and his sister into the lifeboat, asking anyone who would listen if they were prepared to die. At least that's what survivors later reported. They said that as people were scrambling for the lifeboats, Harper kept sharing the gospel with whoever would listen. And when he finally found himself in the icy water with a life jacket floating near another man, John Harper asked him, "Are you saved, sir?" "No, I'm not saved," the desperate man replied. "Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved," Harper shouted. Oh, my goodness. One report says that Harper, knowing that he could not survive long in the icy water, took off his life jacket and threw it to another person with the words, "You need this more than I do." Moments later, he disappeared beneath the water. And 4 years later, when there was a reunion of the survivors of the Titanic, the man to whom Harper had witnessed told the story of his rescue and how Harper led him to Jesus Christ. To complete the story, Harper's 6-year-old daughter and her aunt did arrive safely in New York, only then to learn of Harper's death. Much has been written about this extraordinary man. He was a believer who loved to pray, and it was said of him that Harper was a man who craved for souls, and for those souls he would sometimes spend all night in prayer. one friend said of him, "You know, John Harper was strong in his love for the perishing. This man burned, he prayed, he labored and wept for the conversion of sinners, and blessed be God, great numbers were led to Jesus through his efforts." You know, the story of John Harper reminds me of why I simply could not watch the movie Titanic when it was on the screen years ago. I mean, just the sight of that huge ship dragging down what I knew were a lot of lost and unsaved people down into the depths, it gave me the shivers. I called my husband into the room and told him to turn off the video quick. And then I began singing, "Rescue the Perishing." Well, you know what? Many Christians lack the passion that Harper had, and I confess I do as well. We all know that our neighbors and friends are heading to hell without Christ. But for some reason, it just doesn't seem real. Because if it did, we would be more bold in telling them about salvation in Christ. So let John chapter 5, verse 28 wake us up, where Jesus says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out, some to live for eternity and some to a hell without hope."
Oh, friend, may the Holy Spirit move us to be so bold. In fact, right now you might be thinking of someone you know you need to share Christ with. Well, tell that friend the story of Jesus and his love, the same story that John Harper shared with dying people on a doomed ship. Share this program with them and go to johnnyradio.org, where you can give us their name and we can cover them in prayer too. God bless you, friend, and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of Missionary Radio, and we just want to say thank you to every faithful listener who gives, prays, and stands with us. Your partnership is why the gospel is on the air right now. You may never meet the lives you've touched, the truck driver who gave his life to Jesus, the single mom who sings along with her kids, the person who found peace at 2 a.m. through a worship song. That's because of you. But summer's here, and like many ministries, giving slows down. In some areas, it's down by 50%. Would you consider becoming a new partner today? Or if you've given before, would you give again so the message continues? You can give safely at missionary.radio or mail your give to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Together, we're sharing the love of Jesus, one song, one soul at a time. Thank you for making it possible.
With TWR. All right, so don't get angry. We're still talking about anger.
I'm mad.
What we're talking about, though, is handling controversy within the church. And what we've discovered as we've continued to peel back the layers is that the process is one in which I have to be looking for a solution. And in order to look for a solution, I have to first solve me. I'm the first piece of the equation that needs to be addressed. And I really find it interesting, before we get back into chapter 18, that if you go back into the Sermon on the Mount, all the way through the Sermon on the Mount, what God does is he moves from the action back to the attitude. So when he starts by saying in chapter 5, verse 21, "You have heard it said by people long ago, you shall not murder," well, that's an action that he's addressing. But when he dials that back in chapter 5, what you'll find is he actually is talking about anger. And so he says there in verse 23, Joe, if you would, just read that, read verse 23 and 24.
Well, I'm going to start at 22. But
well,
I tell you,
go ahead.
That, I won't don't get angry. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift.
So when he speaks about the phrasing, he starts by saying, "You've been told you shall not murder. Here's an action." When he dials it back, what he does is he dials it all the way back to why the murder? Well, it's anger. If you go to the next section, he says you shall not commit adultery. Well, there's the action. But when he dials it back, he dials it back into the concept of lust. When he gets to divorce, and they say, well, can we divorce this action for any cause at all? He dials it back to what's the purpose of marriage, right? Mm-hmm. When he gets into oaths, this is an act. What he does is he dials it back into reputation. Whenever God starts by talking about an act, that's the simplest line in the sand, and it's the last point of the process. What God wants us to do is to dial it back to the seed from which it's growing. Mm-hmm. And so when we go into chapter 18 and we're talking about, hey, you're going to go and talk to this individual personally, quietly, what he's asking you to do is start with yourself and make sure you've dialed it back to the place where it's found its inception. The sin is between you and a brother. Mm-hmm. The sin is between you you seeing an individual who's hurt another brother. And so you don't need to blow it up into something bigger. You know, that's going to be the unwanted fruit of this process.
Sure.
Keep it small. And when you keep it small, you can get solutions faster. That's the key. And so I love the fact that he does chapter 18 and he does chapter 7, all these things where he's saying, hey, handle this with your own heart first so that you can address that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take chapter 7 and feed that back into chapter 18 one more time, Matthew 7, Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew 7, he talks about judging others, right? And he says, first pull out the speck in your own eye. So when I go to my brother in chapter 18, I have to have handled my anger. And here's the other piece. I have to have sat down and thought this through from their perspective. I have to think through where my biases are. That means I need to listen to them. So one of the things that I do as a pastor is, and again, Joe knows a lot of this because he goes to my church, and I'm just so blessed to have him as part of my family.
Well, thank you.
I keep
I'll give you your money later.
I appreciate that. But no, Joe knows that I have an open door policy. If you have an issue with Brother David, you come in and sit down in my office, and I give you the first 15 minutes. You won't hear me talk. I'm not going to immediately, and this is the way conversations normally go. Joe comes in, he's upset. I say, hold on, that's not what I said. Hold on, that's not what I meant. Hold on, you misinterpreted. And I immediately become defensive. Mm. What I have chosen to do, and it's not always easy, and I don't always pull it off. I try. But what I've tried to do is I give you the first 15 minutes. You get to share all that you want to share. Get it all out. Because we can't address the wound unless we open it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm defensive, I'm shutting off what you're trying to open up. Now, granted, some of what you're going to say may be wrong, and it may be hurtful, and it may make me angry. But I give you the first 15, I sit on my hands and I bite my tongue. And my goal, and this is a goal, I can't say that this is what I do perfectly, but it's what I try. I try to listen. Because what I have found is that when I will open my ears and shut my mouth, I can hear their perspective, I can hear their hurt, and I can hear what it is that really is the issue so that we can find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And the simplest words, I'm sorry, can solve a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always cure a situation completely,
sure,
but it moves us down the road a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to say I'm sorry for something I'm not. But I do have to be able to hear them and hear their pain. And to say that I'm sorry for the pain that they're feeling, that's truth every time.
Yeah.
Because if you're in my church family, I love you and I want you to be okay.
Yeah.
And so I try to say, hey, I'm sorry you feel this way. And this is something that I'm going to work for us to find a solution on. Mm-hmm. And what I have found whenever I've done that, just listen to the other side. Not only do we find solutions quicker, but this is the best piece of it. I learn and I grow.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm willing to take a few arrows,
yeah,
go through a few scars, I can come out a much smarter fighter mm-hmm. on the other side of the battle. And so if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to hear the other individual, and I don't just mean your mind is churning with everything you're going to say when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is you've opened your ears, you clamped your tongue, you're sitting on your hands, and you are focused on every word they're saying. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I actually, and I've done this in meetings that are exceptionally intense, I'll take a notepad out and I'll start writing. As you're speaking, I'm writing. I'm not talking to you. I'm not stopping you. I'm just going to write down what you share and what you tell me, because when I'm listening, and evidently my phone is now on and going, see, it's listening all the time. It knows how to work.
Exactly. Yeah.
My ears are open and when I'm taking those notes, I'm showing you that I'm actively hearing what you have to say. And that dials the temperature down in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It brings that heat to a much more accommodating temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get into chapter 18 and you have that very first phrase that says, hey, if your brother has sinned against you or you have seen your brother sin against someone, Jesus is saying dial it back to its simplest form.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you handle it in a way that doesn't grow it, but addresses it to find that solution. So let's talk about the last two pieces of this fairly quickly. If you don't get a solution in that first meeting, then you can bring someone else in to help find that solution, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the medium, intermediate state of the process. And again, the goal is not, I'm going to bring in, like, the issues with me and Joe. So I'm going to bring in Brian because Brian's on my side.
Mm.
We're not choosing sides. You're bringing in a witness
yeah.
who's supposed to help mediate this process. Mm-hmm. Either they too have seen the sin and they're going to verify what's been done, or they're going to watch the interchange and they're going to verify where each individual is standing.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be witnesses in the process to help mediate the process. That's mm-hmm. the only reason we're bringing in extra people.
So it would be preferable that they would be impartial.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah.
And very rarely do I find that folks want to bring in somebody impartial.
Yeah.
Usually you have two folks that will bring in folks who say, well, he's on my side and he's on my side, so we're bringing in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that can be helpful, but not always. Not always. The last piece, and this is where we kind of got cut off last week too, but it's the avoiding of the individual. And that is where what I'm going to do is I'm going to release you to be you. So when you go and do what it is you're doing, I'm not going to stop you anymore. Even God does that. I'm going to turn you loose. I'm not going to let you control me, but I am going to let you do you. And I free you to become what it is that this sin is creating in you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible thing to do, but it's the godly thing to do, and it's the biblical thing to do.
Amen.
So this week, if there's some controversies in your home or in your church or in your workplace, start with you, work small, and fix it before it gets large. Yeah. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.